Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all that good stuff. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I'm excited. Praise the Lord. I got a message from heaven today. I know that. Because, why? Because the Lord delivered it to me, and I know that it's for you guys. And I know it's for me. Praise the Lord. I know it's going to shake some things up. It'll loosen some things up. It'll help us press on, go further in the things of God. Amen. If there's been something that's been stale, well, praise the Lord, it's going to freshen it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't nothing worse than something that's stale, you know. Anybody ever come up to you with stale breath? Like, hand them a mint and say, hey, you hear freshen up? Praise the Lord. That's why they make all kinds of mints. I endeavor to take some just so I know my pastor said there's nothing worse than a stinky breath preacher. Praise the Lord. There ain't nothing worse than stinky breath Christians. And I'm not just speaking of natural breath, but when Christians speak wrong, there ain't nothing worse than that. Praise the Lord. I said there ain't nothing worse than that. Glory to God. Well, God's got some good things for us today. And, you know, I'm going to be preaching along the lines of, the message today is called Open Doors. Praise the Lord. And you can kind of subtitle this, I guess, if you want to. You can kind of subtitle this, Keeping Your Testimony, Praise the Lord. See, I knew this about a week into maybe the testimonies when we had Testimony Sunday or even leading up to it a little bit after we said that we were going to do this. I knew that, see, the devil doesn't like when anybody has a testimony. And so when there's a testimony, we'd be foolish to think that a testimony is going to go without being attacked. Why is that? Well, because the devil doesn't want you to keep your testimony. Now, praise the Lord. Now, I said this before, and I'll say it again, that even if you had a testimony for a month, I said to my son recently, I said to him, I said, if somebody got some terrible disease on their face, and so it was their face was contorted and altered and just maybe flesh was falling off and it was just hideous. You know, I'm speaking seriously kind of for a minute. I know it's kind of a graphic explanation, but if their nose fell off, praise the Lord. Not praise the Lord for their nose falling off, but you know, something bad, you know, the bad things are happening, you know what I mean? And they came into a service and they got hands laid on them and they got healed, praise the Lord. And say they had completely transformed and they were healed for an entire month. And then all of a sudden it came back. Is it any less of a miracle that they were healed for a month? No, not at all. See, God's purpose in us is that the testimony would remain. But we have to understand that there's things that go along with that. Our testimony isn't just going to stay there just because we want. This is why churches get religious. This is why churches have gotten into religion. This is why all these churches that were started on great moves of God, praise the Lord. Great move of God rolled through, and God was moving on people, and lives were changing. All these things were happening. And then someday down the road, they have churches that sit around, and they look like funeral homes. They sound like funeral homes. You go in, and you don't even know if the people are alive. They're sitting there. They don't even know if they're alive. Well, that's not the way God intended it to be. Why does it get like that? Because people get religious. They don't realize that they have to continue. It's a choice on our own part. And see, so we shouldn't be surprised when we have a testimony and it's attacked. I've had testimonies and I've had them attacked. There was a time in my life where I got to the point where I was getting into fear a little bit, and I would be afraid of the testimony, and I would start thinking, well, I don't want to say anything about the testimony, because if as soon as I start talking about how good God's being, then you know the devil's going to come knocking. But see, the Word teaches us, and hopefully we teach you that the Word teaches us, that even though that there's going to be attack, we're still victorious if we stand. But see, it's important that we stand, we continue, we do it, amen? You know, I was thinking this morning as I was praying, and you know where I like to pray? I was in the shower praying. Praise the Lord. And the Lord was dealing with me on some things, you know, and I was brought in spirit. I was brought to the place in Scripture where Jesus was talking about building on the rock. Amen. And he said to build, a person who builds on the rock, which is Jesus, which is the Word of God, a person who builds with that foundation, when the storms come, he said, when the storms come. He said, when they come, that house stands firm. But he said, the one who builds on the sand, that's one. It's not the rock. Anything other than the rock. There's only one rock. There's only one rock. There's only one thing to build on, and that's Jesus Christ. If you build on anything else, you're not building on the rock. Some people build half on the rock, half in the sand. And then they wonder why half their house falls down. How many of you have ever been blessed by half a house? If half your house just disappeared today and it was left open, just cut your house in half, take half of it away, would you be blessed by that house? No. Why? Because it'd be open. Half a house ain't any good, any better than no house. Right? No, nobody blessed by half a house. Praise the Lord. Well, it's the same thing. If you everything we build on, everything we build our lives on, everything that is important to us, everything that we rest on, everything that we spend our time and our money, every time we focus on, where our focus is, all these things are building on other things. If we're not building on if Jesus isn't the first and foremost thing. And so what people are doing is they got a little bit of their house on the rock, because it's Sunday morning, you know, that's the rock, a little bit of the rock. But then the rest of the week, they have 6/7 of their week built on the world, on the sand. And then when the storms come crashing, they wonder why everything's crumbling down. Well, see, if you have 1/7 of a house, I was talking about half a house, but if you have 1/7 of a house, that ain't doing you any good either, right? And so here's the thing we have to understand is that Christianity, praise the Lord, and this came to me also this morning, I wrote it down here, Christianity isn't an experience. If you're coming for an experience, you came for the wrong thing. If you came to church to get an experience, well, you come for the wrong thing. That's why so many people in our camps, the Pentecostal camps or the ones with the Spirit, that's why so many of those people get goofy and get off, because they go seeking experience. You don't seek experience, you seek God. You come seeking God. If you came in because you needed help, well, praise the Lord. But you don't stay there just hoping that God's going to help you. You don't stay going. You go to church because you love the Lord. You come connect to the Lord because you want Him. You don't want just what He can give you. How many of you would be blessed by that? Anybody married in here, think about this. What your spouse said, well, I'm only married for you, so for what you can give me. I'm only married because you can help me. I'm only married because you can make my financial situation better. I'm only married to you because you can do something good for me. How many of you would feel good about that? But Christians do that with God all the time. How do I know that? Because they go out and they live their lives like the devil. They go out in the world, they live their lives like the devil. They wonder why they don't have God in their lives. They wonder why their prayers don't work. Listen, if you don't live for God, your prayers aren't going to work. I'm going to tell you that right now. I said your prayers won't work if you don't live for God. Praise the Lord. Your prayers won't bother. Just live right. Praise the Lord. It matters. Glory to God. Glory to God. Christianity is an experience. It's a lifestyle. It's about being immersed. You know, I got this visual as I was thinking about this. If we were scuba diving, you're immersed in that. Amen? But when you go scuba diving, you don't just jump in the water, go scuba diving, go down 100 feet in the water and just hang out there, do you? What do? You put some equipment on. And when you put that equipment on, when you put it on, you go down there, you can stay for quite a long time, right? You go down there and you spend time doing whatever you're doing scuba diving. Well, but you understand, fish got the equipment all the time. They're immersed in it. They're immersed in their equipment. They go down underwater and it ain't no issue. You know, being in the Spirit is just like the Bible likens it to water. And that's why I use this example, because if we want God, we have to put God on. God isn't okay with us keeping Him on a coat rack or on a closet and then just taking Him out once in a while and throwing it on. And see, this is the way a lot of Christians live their lives, and this is why a lot of Christians go without. You can't go. When you put God to the side, when everything is more important than God in your life, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's people that will spend more time in the year not going to church than they will be in the church. God said, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. He said He gave us pastors. He gave us the church. He did that for a reason. So when you reject, Jesus said, if you love me, you do what I say, right? What did He say? Go to church. He said, get a pastor. I got a pastor for you. Go find out who it is. Get looked up. Why? Because there's blessings that you'll be complete. Praise the Lord. You put it on and keep it on. Praise the Lord. Let's put God on and keep Him on. Amen? We choose. And see, this is the difference. And this is why when I was saved at 14, fell away. Rededicated at 22 or 24, fell away. Why? Because I wasn't planted in the Word. My house wasn't built on the rock. If we're not built on the rock, if we don't build our lives on the rock, if we come in, get our help, and then leave and say, oh, thanks, God, we'll see ya, then we ain't going to keep it. And that's why Christians fall away. That's why Christians have mistakes. It isn't because God intended for it. God intended us to live in His presence all the time. Praise the Lord. He intended us to be full of Him all the time. It's all up to us how we do that. Amen. But we got to understand that a lot of times what people deal with is what we call open doors. They deal with opening doors in their lives to the devil coming in. And then they wonder why the power of God isn't working. You can't. The Bible said that you can't have one and have the other too. He said, you can't have both. He said, you're gonna love one and hate the other. You're going to hate or love the other and hate the one. But either way, you're going to hate one and love the other. You understand? And people say, well, I love God. Well, what do you do for God? Do you do his word? Do you endeavor? I'm not talking about being perfect. And, you know, we're not talking about perfection. You ain't got to be perfect. It isn't about being perfect. Glory to God. We're not, but God will perfect us as we allow him to work in us. And it matters that we stay connected to that. Amen? Well, we're going to start in Ephesians 4:27. We're just going to pull it up here because it's just such a short scripture. And I'll probably read it before you can get to turn there. Nor give place to the devil. I love that. It's real simple scripture, real quick, real nice and easy, right, light read. Nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. What does that mean? Let's look at this in the Amplified. I love it in the Amplified. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Wow. Praise the Lord. This when I failed in life, it isn't because God has failed me. It's because I failed to do this. It's because I've given the devil a foothold. You open the door to the devil, I'm going to tell you what, you open the door that much and that devil's coming in. You open the door that much and the devil's coming in. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, how do we open the door? Well, anything you know to do and you do the opposite, you just open the door. When you hear it in the word and you know that it's a word and you do the opposite, you just open the door. You gave him a foothold. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil isn't okay with just taking a foothold. He's going to look and he's going to work to try to get that foothold established. This is why Christians lead bad lives. This is why Christians fail. It isn't because God fails them, but God cannot work in people that do not work in him. He said he can't. This is why a lot of Christianity to a lot of the world is an absolute joke. They say they see Christians being beaten up and tormented and afflicted all the time. And they say, why would I serve your God? He's a joke. And I'm going to tell you something. The God of most Christians is a joke because it's not this God. The God of most Christians is not the God of the Bible. It is not the Father of Jesus. It is not Jesus himself. It is not the Holy Spirit. It is the devil. Jesus said in John 8:44, I believe it was, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Who was he talking to? The people who said they were religious but did whatever they wanted to do. They didn't follow the word. They couldn't recognize God if he came in glowing red. They couldn't recognize God. If he came in wearing a purple cape doing cartwheels down the aisle, most people wouldn't recognize God. They wouldn't have any idea. They talk about Jesus. I get in arguments with Christians who try to convince me that the word says exactly what it doesn't say and talk about how Jesus will do things like give you mountains and make you sick and all these other things. Jesus does none of that stuff. He never did it then. He never does it now. God never made his people sick. He never did. He allowed judgment to come on people who were being disobedient. Yes, I will agree with that. He still is allowing judgment to come on people who are disobedient. You say, how is that? Well, that's because that's what he does. Sometimes he has to. He took the Israelites to the promised land, took them up to the door of the promised land. He said, that's yours, go in. He said, I'm giving it to you. It's yours. You know what they said? We can't do it. No, God just told you. God just said, that's yours, go get it. If God came in here today and said, that's your chair, take it home, I ain't going to stop you from taking it. Man, he better tell me too. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I want you just taking chairs out of here. You say, well, God told me. Well, he didn't tell me that. But I'm saying, if God was standing here before you, go in, take the land. It's yours. But they didn't. So why did they go in the wilderness? See, people love to say, well, God put the Israelites in the wilderness. Yes, because they didn't listen to God. His goal wasn't the wilderness from the beginning. His goal was to go and take the promised land. He didn't say go and struggle in the promised land. He said go into the land of flowing with milk and honey. Take it. It's yours. Take it. But you got to take it. What's taking it? Taking its faith. See, this is what people have a hard concept of faith. Faith is waking up and saying, that's mine. God said it's mine. Yeah. Praise the Lord. How do we have faith for healing? Well, the Bible says, by his stripes, I was healed. So that's mine. Yeah. Well, doesn't look like it. I don't care if it looks like it. The Israelites didn't look like they could take that land either. Didn't look like. Listen, when you're 5 foot, 9.5 inches, praise the Lord, or whatever I am, maybe 5 foot, 9 3/4. I'm pushing it really, really bad. Stretching. When you're 5 foot, 9.5 inches, and you're looking at something that's 9 to 13 foot tall, praise the Lord, I ain't gonna think I could take it myself. But God didn't say take it yourself. He said that wherever you go, I'm gonna be with you. He said the same thing to us. Wherever you go, I'm gonna be with you. So what's yours? You find out what's yours and then you take it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Many Christians, faithful Christians, leave open doors in their lives. How do they do this? Because they will do so many things right, but then something they know to do and they won't do it. They'll say, man, I tithe, I give, I'm nice to people, but I don't serve in the church. Ooh, you're not obeying God. I tithe, I give, I do all these things, I don't go to church. You're not serving God. You're doing something. You're leaving something undone. You're opening that door that much. Yeah, great, you do all these wonderful things. That's wonderful. But if you give the devil that much, he's going to take it. And see, this is where people fail, and this is why people go without. The people are like, Lord, I pray all the time, but I don't read the word that much. That's why Christians get goofy. That's why they get off, because they're not balanced in the word. They don't understand what the word says. Heck, you pull up the word to a lot of people, they try to act like there's an abundance in here of God taking his people who are serving him and wiping them out. People act like that. I'm telling you, I get this stuff all the time. But I'm going to tell you right now, you will not find that in this scripture. King James, New King James, I don't know, maybe some other versions you might find it, but in the main ones that we read, that you don't find that. In the scripture, you don't find that. Why? Because God doesn't want his people wrecked. He wants his people helped. It is so foolish to think. People have this idea of God like somehow his love is so different than ours that we can't understand it. He made us in his likeness and his image, and yet his love is so different than ours that we can't understand his love or why he would put cancer on one of his children. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you believe it, you're hooking up with the devil. But see, there's the other thing. The Bible talks about believing the Lord. That's every bit as important as praying. That's every bit as important as going to church. It's every bit as important as tithing or giving. Praise the Lord. But if you don't believe God at his word, you're leaving the foothold. You're leaving that door open. Praise the Lord. Let's not leave that. We got to close that door. Amen. We don't want what the devil has for us, because what the devil has for us is rotten. What the devil has for us is stale. What the devil has for us is going to hurt us. What that devil has will remove from us. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't ride the fence. This is another mistake that Christians make. I made the same mistake. You can't ride the fence. Sooner or later, you're getting pushed off. You cannot serve God partially. You cannot be okay. Now, I'm saying that people will go to different levels. And you can go to a great level with God. He has got an open door for you to go there. And people may not go all the way to the exact levels. But I'm going to tell you, people who are wishy-washy, people who are living 1 foot in the world, 1 foot out of the world, or 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the world, they're going to find out. They're going to have a reckoning day, because you can't live in both sides. You can't do it. You know, the Bible talks about returning to a pig as a pig returns to its wallowing in the mire, and a dog to its own vomit, so does a fool to his folly. Why would we go back to the things that caused us death? Everything in this world, well, hallelujah. Why would we go back to death? No, we go back to, we always get pointed. Listen, I understand full well what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to struggle as a Christian, as a believer. I know what it's like to not see, you know, to be doing things and not see everything just come to fullness and fruitation, like fruition. Thank you. Fruitation. That's like a mix between a fruit and plantation. Praise the Lord. Fruition. I know what it's like not to receive all that instantly. I know what it's like to spend time in the wilderness, because I spent years in the wilderness. You know what I mean by the wilderness? I mean walking around for 40 years looking for the promised land, trying to believe God to get there, but it just don't seem to be happening. Praise the Lord. Well, everything that God ever did great in the Bible, he always did after a time of wilderness season. Sometimes he will allow you to be in a time of wilderness season. That is not to hurt you. That is to grow you. He does not destroy you in the wilderness season. Some things you can do can destroy you in the wilderness season. But if God said the time isn't now, and how do you know God said the time isn't now? Well, if you're serving God faithfully, if you got a heart towards God and it ain't happening now, I'm saying time ain't now. I said, God's saying that. People do this with marriage all the time. They'll go out and they'll say, well, I want to be married and it just ain't happening yet, so I'm going to make it happen. They go find some doofus to marry, and they wonder why they got all kinds of trouble. Well, listen, if you marry a doofus, you're going to get doofus. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You can't eat garbage and expect to not have garbage in your body. Amen? People doing that all the time, and they just wonder why it's that way. Well, listen, the Word says. Do what the Word says, and you'll be straight. If a person perfected their life, they would do the Word every day. They would do exactly what I said. Now, I understand it's hard. I understand that in the sense that sometimes the flesh is going to fight you on that. But so what? So what? Flesh fights you. Yeah, I don't want to do that. So what? Do it anyways. Why? Because what's the alternative? I said, what's the alternative? It's too bad if it's hard. Do it anyways. I have no compassion on hard because the Lord has led me through hard. He continues to lead me through hard. I haven't gotten to a place yet in Christianity where I haven't seen anyone, people far more spiritual than me, I haven't seen a time yet where God hasn't led somebody into hard. Listen, the land of giants pushing back against you is hard. But hard doesn't mean you can't take it. But what we decide to do with it is if we press through, listen, I know it's hard to do right. It doesn't matter. Doing wrong hurts more. I'm going to tell you, doing wrong hurts way more. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:8. Glory. Hallelujah. God is good. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. People don't know what either is. People wouldn't know the spirit of God if he came up to them and slapped them in the face. They wouldn't. A lot of people wouldn't. They wouldn't have no idea what the Spirit of God would never do that, but they have no idea what the Spirit of God truly is. Why? Because you can tell in how they act. Well, if God's telling you so much, the first thing he's going to tell you is to do the word. So if you're doing all kinds of sinning and you're sitting there thinking that God's talking, he ain't talking to you. Don't be changing the word to try to fit what your attitude is or what you want. Now, see, that's what so many people do, and that's why they, again, well, praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. That'd help a lot of people. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I love, be sober. Be sober. You know, there's so many Christians that love to sip. They eat the fruit of that, and then they wonder why. Be sober. It's a word. It's a word of God. Be sober. Yes, it's be sober-minded, but you can't be sober-minded if you're drunk. You can't be sober-minded if you're filled up with garbage spirits. Listen, that stuff is garbage. It opens the door to the devil. We're talking about open doors. Amen? Praise the Lord. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about, not God, not your adversary God, your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking whom he may devour. See, this is so important. We don't realize he's looking for opportunity to devour Christians. He doesn't care about people that aren't serving God. He ain't seeking to devour them because he's already devoured them. He's seeking opportunity to devour Christians. He's talking to the church here. Is it Peter? I can't remember who wrote this. Peter, I think, wrote it. Peter wrote it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He was talking to Christians, saying, listen, this is what these are letters to the churches. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are letters to the people who are already born again. These are. You believe me? I mean, it's there. That's what it says. Amen? These are the letters to the churches. We know that. They're talking to Christians. He is not looking to devour the people in the world. He's looking to devour Christians. And notice what it says. It says he's seeking whom he may devour. Do you think God's sitting there saying, well, I'll let you devour this Christian, but not that Christian. Man, maybe I'll let you have this one, but not this one. And you know, I think this Christian can handle more. So devil, you go ahead and go devour on this one. That's stupidity. That's dumb Christianity, and if you believe that garbage, well, you know, stick around for a little while. We'll knock it out of you. Praise the Lord. We can't believe that garbage. It's stupid to think that line of thinking. The devil is seeking whom he can devour. He is looking for Christians who have left the door. He's looking for Christians who are going to give them opportunity, to give the devil opportunity to come in and wreak havoc in their lives. God never intended sickness for man. He intended man to be healthy and full all the days of his life. He said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Yeah. With long life, I will satisfy. That's what the Bible says about God. That's what God said. Yeah. Well, you know, God always takes the good ones early. That's not what the Word says. Well, but that's what I think. You know, that sounds good. And everybody else says that's garbage. It's not what the Word says. The Word says, with long life, I will satisfy you. Yeah. What does that mean? God's will for you is to be satisfied with long life. And he said, I will show you my salvation. Salvation doesn't just mean, he's talking about in the land of living there. Yet salvation is not just for death. It is for death, but it's for this life too. He wants to save you out of the trials of this life. But you can't be saved if you're throwing the door open to the devil. If you open the door to the devil and he comes in, God can't. He doesn't have any room. God ain't gonna force himself on you. He ain't gonna force himself in your life. He never has. Why? Because he's a perfect gentleman. The devil will force himself on you. Seeking whom he may devour. Now look at this. 9, verse 9. Resist him. Resist him. Resist him. I love when my pastor talks about this. I've mentioned it a few times. I'll bring it up again. People in this world pay for resistance. They go to the gym and they pay great sums of money to get resistance. I saw this guy who was pulling this cart or this sled with all this weight on. An unreal amount of weight. It was like hundreds of pounds. And this guy is an animal, a beast. But he pays good money to go do that. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
People pay for resistance. And then when it comes to resisting the devil, people act like it's so tough. People, they do all kinds of things in their life to have resistance, praise the Lord. And then you look at stuff like this and you see the word here and people are resisting God and they're not resisting the devil. They're saying, well, it's too hard to resist the devil. That's only because you don't resist him. Resistance isn't being flowery, giving up and laying down and let the devil walk all over you. I said resistance is not being a flowery lily. It isn't. Listen, if you're going to be a lily Christian, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it. If you can't resist, if you can't say no once in a while, if you can't, you know, and listen, I understand it comes at you a lot sometimes. But at some point, you got to stand up and say no.
Yeah.
Some point, you got to say, listen, I'm not going down this road anymore. I'm not doing it. It's your choice.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And the same thing is with this testimony. People have testimonies, and then all of a sudden, they have life come against them. There's people that aren't even here today. Praise the Lord, that should be sitting here today. And they're not getting this message, and they're out there living because they're not resisting the devil. They're out there doing whatever else they're doing. Maybe they're working, or maybe they're out there golfing, or maybe they're out there. But see, they're rejecting the house of God because, you know, it's real hard to sit in church for an hour, hour and a half. Dear Jesus, it's hard to say. You don't ever tell me it's hard to sit in church. My pastor and I would go away to special meetings, and we sit there, and we show up 5 minutes before the service. We sit down in the service. We sit there and eat good. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, not food, but we're eating good. The Word of God's good. We're eating good. And we're sitting there and we're like, man, this is what people have a hard time with. It's a hard time sitting in church, seriously, getting your life. I mean, if you put to practice the words, you can blot everything I say out. You can blot my voice out. But if you simply just write down the scriptures that I give you today, you take them home and you apply them to your life, you start putting them in your life, well, you'll never recognize your life. People won't recognize your life. Praise the Lord. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing, that's important too, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Ain't nobody who's dealing with stuff, that isn't dealing with stuff that's a Christian. Everybody's dealing with something. Everybody's dealing with something, whether it's sickness, whether it's poverty. They're dealing with something coming at them. You choose what you're going to deal with, or you choose with how long you're going to deal with it. You choose what you're going to have victory over by what you choose to do with it. The Bible, you will never see the word that never see the word suggests that it all just comes upon us. In fact, you'll see completely the opposite. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. The Bible tells us it's about what we do. It's about what we choose. It's about what we think. It's about what we say. It's about what we stand up against. It's about what we resist. It's about what we decide. It's about what we decide. You say, well, this makes me mad, or this whatever. You know, people get offended at church. People have gotten offended at me over dumb things and left and won't come back.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You have dumb stuff. Yeah. Dumb stuff. The truth is the things that they get offended over, if they look in the Word, they probably see that I'm not far off from what I'm saying. People have their religion built in them, and they'll have whatever so-and-so said all their life. Well, I was trained all... Well, listen, if you can't come into church, hear the Word, and be changed, there's something wrong with you. I'll be changed by the Word any day of the week for the rest of my life. I ain't going back on that. It isn't because I'm so smart, but the Holy Ghost is. Yeah, absolutely. And if we have a testimony, we prove that the Holy Ghost is smart, right? We prove that the Holy Ghost is real. Well, we have a church full of testimonies. All the time, and we're going to have more testimonies. Our testimonies aren't going to stop. Why do people get healed of cancer in my church? It isn't because of my power. It isn't because I do anything great. All I do is follow God. That's the only thing. I look to God. He leads me, and because he leads me, my sister Cindy, when I looked at her, I saw in the spirit, I saw life on her. I didn't see death, and they were telling her death. Praise the Lord. Well, what did I say? I said, I see life on you and not death, and so we rebuked it. What does she not have today? She doesn't have stage 4 cancer. It doesn't exist in her body.
Right.
Praise the Lord. They say it doesn't exist right now, right? Does it exist right now? It's not there right now, right? Praise the Lord. It's gone. Pray. How does that happen? Well, because you know Pastor Jeff, he's just so awesome. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God, and because that's what God intended for man. Well, you say, well, this Christian over here, they died of cancer. Well, I don't know what they believed. I don't know what they taught. I do know this, though. I do know I've always been taught that if you ain't sowing it, you ain't growing it. And the Bible says that, the same thing. If you aren't teaching healing in your church, then you aren't going to have healing in your church. People have deliverance ministries. That's what Jesus is. Being born again is a deliverance. You don't need a deliverance ministry. If you are a born again child of God, then you claim your deliverance because it belongs to you already. Jesus said he has delivered us. He has brought us out. Why does God speak in past tense? Because it's already happened. And we are waiting for it to happen. It's already happened. So it's mine. I just wait for it to manifest. I said it's mine, and that's what faith is. Do you know that you're going to heaven? Yeah. Praise the Lord. How do you know that? By faith. Has it happened yet? Have you been to heaven yet? Have you walked into the pearly gates yet? Has St. Peter or St. Paul, has anybody walked up to you and said, hey, welcome to heaven? Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? You ain't there yet. Why? Because the Spirit on the inside of you bears witness. Yeah. It's going to happen. You are already, you saved today if you are going to heaven. Yeah. How do you know, though? You're not in heaven. It's by faith. That's what faith is. Faith believes those things that be not as though they were. That's what the Bible tells us. It's a direct quote from Scripture. I can't remember exactly which one, but it's in there. Praise the Lord. Knowing that the same suffering, I think it's in Hebrews 11, one of the first few verses there. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all but. So there's suffering. There's trials or things. There's the devil's walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But. Didn't leave us there. Didn't say he's going to devour you. Didn't say he can devour you. Have your way with you. No, he said, but. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Not kill you, not put you in the grave, not give you a disease that you can't handle. It's when you suffered from the trials in the world, when the trials of the world are coming at you. Jesus said they were going to come. When you've suffered a little while, he's going to perfect, and he's going to establish, and he's going to strengthen and settle you. Now let me ask you all this. He's going to do this if you give up? No. No. This verse only applies to Christians who continue on. Who continue on. We're going to see this more in the Word today, but I'm going to tell you right now. You can serve God for 99 years, and that last year you can say, curse God, I don't want anything to do with him, and it doesn't matter. That 99 years of serving ain't going to get you anything. It's what we continue to do. That's why the thief that was on the cross next to Jesus did nothing good in his life. But the one thing he did is he recognized the Son of God. And he's at the last moment, he recognized the Son of God. And he said, you are Lord. He said, remember me when you get into heaven. And that's why Jesus said, come on in. Because he recognized the power of God. He recognized God. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you served on church boards all your life. If you stop serving God, then you're as good as dead. You don't stop. You don't stop with God. You don't come this far with God and say, "See, that's what religion teaches us." That's why I'm not going to name the churches, but that's why so many churches they don't go on with the power of God. That's why you have churches that were started on half the Methodist Church. Praise the Lord! I'm going to call them out. Half the Methodist Church, at least. They're having a great division right now every year. Why? Because some of them want to go with the way of homosexuality and accept that, and others know that it's wrong. And so they're having a great divide. Well, if you look at the history of how Methodists were started, it was a great revival by an awesome man of God. John Wesley was an awesome, mighty man of God who did wonderful things. He actually looked more like our church than he did most Methodist church today. But why do you have that? Because religion creeps in. Oh, the devil loves religion. He loves religious spirits. He loves to get people all caught up into religion. That's what he loved doing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees came up to Jesus. The ones that gave Jesus the problem were not the sinners. It was the Pharisees, the religious ones. They're the same ones that give us problems, the same ones that say, oh, we don't want that church around here. We don't want to listen to that kind of stuff that you teach. And I'm not saying that all Methodists are bad. I'm not saying that all Baptists are bad or all Catholics are bad or anything like that. Anybody who loves God, serves God, and will pick God over the world, well, praise the Lord. They're the ones that are good. They're the ones that are helped. Yeah. Amen? But may the God of all grace, everybody say all grace. It doesn't say that he's the God of trial, yeah. Does it? It doesn't say he's a God of suffering. He's the God of grace. What's God's grace? It's his ability in us. God's grace is his ability in us. When he gives us grace, it gives us the ability to live, the ability to conquer sin, the ability to be torn up into the world and to be controlled by the things of the world. I didn't say it was easy. It's the ability to. It's the same thing with resistance. When you're lifting weights, it doesn't mean that it's easy, but if you want them to do good, you're going to be pushing weights that's a little bit harder. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with God. If you're pushing back against things that are harder, he's going to establish you. But people get this mindset that if God doesn't make it easy, then it must not be God wants it for us. Right. And that's foolishness, because you never see that in anything else. Do you know the Bible tells us that he has given us all things that we can get a picture? Everything that's done in the natural has like a mirror image in the spiritual. So we can get the idea. When we look at, for example, marriage, we look at the marriage covenant. And this is why most people don't have a covenant with God, because they don't even understand what a covenant marriage is. Yeah. They don't understand what God meant by that. Now, if you've gone through a divorce, I've been through a divorce, it doesn't mean you're a horrible person. Sometimes there's people that won't live with God, and that's just the way that it's going to be, and you can't do anything about it. You cannot make people do right. I don't care what you do. You can't pray people to do right. You can pray God to help them. You can pray God, you can supplicate for them. You will not intercede for Christians, by the way. You can supplicate for Christians. Praise the Lord. You intercede for those who are on the outside. Well, praise the Lord, that's free, no charge. But because Jesus is the one that intercedes for them. And when does he intercede for them? When they're doing right. When they're seeking God. When they're putting it before, when they're confessing their sins to him. That's when Jesus intercedes for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can't make people do right, though. People will only do what they want to do, what they're willing to do. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Go ahead and look at it up here. Look at this. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Again, this is what people forget. When good things happen to you, a great and effective door, good things are happening to you. Man, my business is taking off. My job is, I'm being promoted. We just got a new house. The church is growing. Praise the Lord. All these wonderful things are happening. What does the Bible say? A great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Why? They don't want you to have the fullness of what you're going to get. The devil doesn't want you to walk into what God has for you. The devil doesn't want you to do it. So he's going to throw things your way. They're going to try to make you stumble. Yeah. And the foolish Christians are the ones who, and I've been this, even recently I've been this, are the ones who will listen to something and say, well, I want to do it anyways. And they do it. Well, see, we can't live that way. Well, and there are different levels of sin, of course. There are different levels. I mean, sin is sin. Sin's bad. But there are different levels of things that can cause you to stumble worse and take you into a worst place. Amen? That's the way that it is. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. For example, if we know somebody's got a problem with murder, then they probably aren't going to be running the nursery. He just goes to tell us, you know, if people are caught up in sexual sin and stuff like that, we probably aren't going to have them serving with the children. Why? Because we're not going to. Because that's called intelligence. I mean, the world will say that we're judging and we're being, you know, all this stuff, but it's called intelligence too. God didn't tell us to lay wisdom aside. In fact, God will make you smarter, praise the Lord. But look, praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. Because God is good, amen? He's got good things for us. 1 Peter 5:8. No, I already read there. Sorry, I scroll up too far. James 1:12. It's not far from 1 Peter, though. James 1:12, glory to God. See, the problem is people forget the way God has made things work. It's not that even God works things this way. It's like, you know, I always say this. People talk about birth being a miracle. Birth is not a miracle. It's not. I know that's a nice flowery thing to say. It's a nice thing to put on cards. It's a nice thing to cross stitch on pillows and doilies and stuff like that. But birth is not a miracle. Why? It's a natural process. God, it isn't crazy when birth happens. Nobody's like, oh my gosh, a baby was born. Can you believe that? Maybe the parents do. They get excited about it, you understand. But nobody's, you hear, well, there's how many babies? Like a baby born every second or something like that. Nobody's sitting there going, another one. There's no baby counter out there saying, can you believe another baby? God is just pouring out miracles. But no, it's a natural process. It happens. Yeah. Now, it's amazing. I'm not making light of it. It's truly amazing. And if you study the way a child is conceived and the way they grow and what they become, it's amazing, but it's not a miracle. A miracle is something that happens outside of natural processes. A miracle is when you don't see and somebody lays hands on you and now you see. That's a miracle. A miracle is when you have cancer and somebody lays hands on you, or you pray and use your faith and that cancer is gone. That's a miracle, praise the Lord. It wasn't going to naturally happen. Amen? A miracle is when Jesus, was it Peter, cut off the ear of the guard when they were coming to get Jesus? Cut his ear off. The guy who was about to arrest him, Jesus walks up to him, lays hands on the side of his head, and his ear returns. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. That's a miracle. Yeah. Glory to God. How do we get on all that? But God, we have to understand the way things work. God has natural processes. Oh, I know why I was saying that. God has natural processes of things. He set the world up. The devil manipulates what God has made perfect. What God has set up in perfection, the devil has manipulated it. That's what he does. The devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. He is a great manipulator. He makes things, well, this isn't really bad, so I'll get into this or whatever. I know that this is bad, but my sin's not worse as bad as this sin. Oh, praise the Lord. So people start thinking that way, and they start getting off. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But let's look at this, James 1:12. We're talking about keeping our testimony. We keep it. Amen? Yes. Blessed is a man who endures temptation. Praise the Lord. That word blessed means to be envied. To be envied. Do you envy somebody? Do you go to a place like Roswell, if you walk through a place like that, or Children's Hospital, and do you walk through a place like that and you envy those people or those children or those people that are suffering? When you hear somebody who just OD'd on something, or when you see somebody who is out there who just got killed in a car wreck, do you envy them? No. Why? Because that's not what this is talking about either. There's a truth to the Word of God that you are blessed if you have the victory. But this does not mean you're blessed if you're going through it. It says, blessed is a man who endures temptation. That's the one who resists the devil. That's the one who puts up with it. That's the one that says, I ain't going to let it take me out. I'm going to push through it. It's the one who gets back up after they've fallen. Yeah. Have you fallen? Praise the Lord. Get back up. Yeah. You say, well, I fell a long time. I don't care. Get back up today. Yeah. Why? Because I said you can. The Word says you can. Get back up. Get back up. You got to be laid out forever. See, it's what we continue to do. Blessed is a man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Has promised. You can't take the scripture out of the Bible. This scripture is in the Bible. He has promised a crown of life, which those who love him will receive once they've been approved. Does it say once they die? Doesn't say once they die. Once they've been approved. Yeah. What happens when you go to when you go to Home Depot, and you're like, oh, I want to get this. What's something at Home Depot you want to get? No, I go to the car lot. I want to get this brand new Lamborghini. Hallelujah! But I ain't got the cash for a Lamborghini. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna fill out a loan application. So you fill out your loan application for it. Are they gonna give you the keys to that Lamborghini when you're filling out the loan application? No. What do they wait for? They wait for approval. Once you get approved, what happens? Take the keys. Hey, you want two of them? Take two of them. Praise the Lord. You get proof for two of them. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying it's wisdom to drive out of there with a Lamborghini because you got to make the payments, but you've been approved to do it. But see, this is the same thing with the Word of God. You've been approved when you've stood the test, when you've endured, when you've been approved, then you receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love that. I don't know. That's free, no charge. But that's some good stuff there. I like being approved. I like that. I like that thought. The Lord just dropped it in me. I like that thought. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start looking at things a little bit differently. I'm going to start, approved. Praise the Lord. Approved. I like that. Big old fat red approved stamped right on my forehead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to live approved. Amen. I'm not going to go there worrying. You know, when you have bad credit, but see, that's the thing. You know what kind of credit you have when you go in there. When you go into the store, if you go in the Lamborghini store, in the Lamborghini supermarket, you go in the Lamborghini supermarket to buy a Lamborghini. I don't even like Lamborghinis. I mean, they're cool, but, I don't even want one. I don't know why I always use that, probably just because it's an expensive car. But you go in the Lamborghini superstore, and you're going to buy your Lamborghini, and where was I going with this? Praise the Lord. What's that? Oh, yeah, you know it. Thank you. That's why I bring it along. Hallelujah. Well, many other reasons than that, yeah. She's my helper. Praise the Lord. Just like the Holy Ghost. Between her and the Holy Ghost, they've done a pretty good job. Amen. But so you know when you go into a Lamborghini superstore how good your credit is. You know if you're going to get approved or not. There's very rarely do you go get credit and you're like really surprised. And if you're really surprised, it's because you didn't know. The Bible says that we can know. If you don't know, it's your own fault. We can know when we go to Lamborghini Superstore if we're walking out of there with approval or not. Yeah. Amen? And so the same thing, when we go before God, when we pray, we know whether we're approved or not. Right. Yeah. How do we know? How you been doing? What you been doing with your life? I'm not saying rip apart your life and find every little false thing. But listen, if you're just like living bad, then don't be stupid and think that you're going to get away with that long. Yeah. Living bad is all it's going to give you is the devil. It's not going to get you God. It's going to take you further away from Him. Amen? Now look at this, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I love this. I love this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. So let me ask you, how many people can say they were tempted by God? Well, God put this trial on me. God ain't tempted nobody. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says sickness is evil. The Bible says that sickness is not of God. The Bible tells us that. So God ain't going to put sickness on you. He is not going to put sickness. God isn't giving you sickness to carry. If you believe that, you don't believe the Bible. Start believing the Bible. Start reading the Word. See what the Word says. The Word never tells us that God gives us. It says death is the last enemy. God didn't give you death. But I don't love it. I hate it when people say, well, God just called them home to be with Him. God ain't calling no one home. Now, when someone dies, He will take their spirit. He will receive their spirit, but God ain't calling them home and say, hey, you, it's time for you to die. There's nowhere in Scripture where you see that. In fact, we see the devil causes death. Jesus said in John 10, Jesus said, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. I have come for one purpose, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Jesus said that. I didn't say it. So if you get mad at me for saying that, well, you're getting mad at Jesus too, because I'm just quoting Him. Praise the Lord. See, I'm not smart enough to make any of this stuff up. That's the great thing. That's why I love that God can use me. I love that God uses me. I dropped out of high school. I went back, got my good enough diploma. I love that God is using that. I love God uses the fact that I dropped out of any kind of higher education. God, I got a locksmithing degree from, the online thing once, but I don't think that really counts for much of anything because, it doesn't. Praise the Lord. But I do know how locks work, kind of, old locks. Which doesn't do any good because all the locks are new now, so. Maybe I have to go take an advanced locksmithing degree. You know those commercials. Remember those commercials? You want to make more money? Sure, we all do. Remember those commercials? Yeah, thank you. Anybody who's over 40 remembers them. Praise the Lord. So everybody just nodded. We all know how old you are. You're older than 40. Glory. Well, praise the Lord. Let no one say when he was tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted. Look at this. When he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Oh, dear Lord. If people would get a hold of this verse. People are tempted. People fall into sin when they are drawn by their own desires. What stops someone from sin? Resisting. Resisting the devil, resisting the desire, resisting the will to do things that the Bible says not to do. The Bible has a whole list of things it says are bad for us to do. Why is it bad for us? Well, people don't understand. See, people will talk to you about that all the time, but then it's me that people come to when life is in a wreck. It's people like me that people come to when their life is destroyed because, you know, I just wanted to be with somebody else. I mean, it looked better on the other side, and so I went and was with somebody else, and now my marriage is a wreck, and I don't want it to be that way. You know how many times I've seen that? You know how many times I've seen that just since I've been a Christian? It happens all the time. Resist the temptation. What's the difference between someone who does and doesn't? Do you think I don't get tempted to be with some other woman? Of course I do. Any person does. But that doesn't mean I go after it. Doesn't mean that I give that thought or that I sit there enjoying those thoughts or enjoying those things. No, I thank the Lord for the wife that I've been given. Praise the Lord. See, we're enticed. This is when each one is tempted, when he is drawn away by his own desires. It's when they allow themselves to be drawn away. If you allow yourself to be drawn into sin, then you will go down that road of sin. And it will be only a matter of time before you're fully immersed in it. That's the way that it works. Why? Because that's the way the devil works. Praise the Lord. Then when desire has conceived, that's when you give into it, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The Bible also tells us in Romans that sin, the wages of sin is death. God doesn't cause death. God doesn't cause, the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Well, praise the Lord. Now, I know some people come to me and they'll try to argue this. See, this is where those Christians, those really knowledgeable Christians will come up to you and they'll try to argue. So are you saying that everybody who dies is sinning to die? No, but we are born into a body of sin. And so we will die eventually. But sometimes that death can be caused to come prematurely. When you see somebody who's, I see this all the time. You see a Dear Jesus on Facebook and stuff like that. You see left and right, you see all these 19 and 20-year-olds dying of some kind of overdose or something like that. And the whole time it was because they gave in to that desire. They allowed that to be conceived on the inside of them. The sin causes death, but you see people in the comments, rest in peace. I'm going to tell you something. Most of those people, they're not resting in peace. They're in hell right now because they didn't get Jesus. And if they didn't get Jesus, they aren't getting to heaven. This is why we have to do right. This is why we have to not be accepting of things. And see, the thing with stuff like that, they think it just started. What, you think some kid just woke up one day and decided to start doing heroin and start doing coke or anything else? No, they probably had a lifestyle of it around them. They probably saw people just taking, oh, we're just partying a little bit. We're just drinking on the weekends. What do you think that's the door? That is the door. That is the foothold that the devil takes. And then he gets into people's lives, and that's why you see people dying. It is, you don't see people dying because they're serving God. You see people dying because they're serving the devil. And the sad thing is, and we can't get this, I just read this thing, I wish I had it before me right now, but I just read this thing that somebody did, they were doing statistics out of all the people that die. Majority of people that die, we're talking a vast majority, even into the 90% range of people that die every second are not going to heaven. Just because you love somebody does not send them to heaven. The only thing that sends somebody to heaven is accepting Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. I don't think I can get into it right now, but because it was a long reading, but that doesn't mean we won't read it, because we need to have a message about this coming up. Yeah, we shared it on our Facebook too, so check it out there. A vast majority of people that die every second are going to hell. People, it's serious. It's serious, but when we're just okay, when we're casual about sin, when we're casual about God, when we're casual about church, when we're casual about all the things that are going on, that's why people aren't taking God seriously. If you want things to change, then you need to live it. If you want to see people's lives change, you need to live it, because you will answer for it. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin brings forth death, God doesn't. Song of Songs, I want you to just look at this real quick up here. Some call it Song of Solomon. My Bible, it's Song of Songs. Look what this says. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The little foxes spoil. It's the little things that you think aren't any big deal. Yeah, I know it's wrong, but you know, it's just a little thing. You start piling those up and they become a big thing. Those are the things that spoil the vine. Those are the things that spoil the vine. I'm going to tell you right now, if you have plants and they get diseased, you see it when it's too late generally. But you don't see it when it's real tiny, when it's microscopic. You don't see it when it's getting in there, but it's that's when it started. That's when it started. You can't, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that we could get this through. Praise God. Hallelujah. It matters how we live. It matters what we do, because that is what's going to take us through. That is what's going to get us to the other side. I am not talking about perfection and being perfect, but I am talking to endeavor to do everything you know to do, to live for God, to do everything you can to shun the things of the devil, because when we accept what he's doing, that's why we're a church that will never accept the devil. We won't accept what the devil's doing. I don't care if it's popular to accept things in the world that kill people. I don't care if that's popular. It's not of God. Hebrews 3:6. I really wanted to get here. We're getting close to being closed. I know it's a heavy message, praise the Lord, but praise the Lord for boldness and praise God for the ability to preach the word. We want to keep what God has seen. See, God intends us to keep it. We need to keep it, but we can only keep it by the same way that we got it, and that's by faith, by living in faith. Remember, we can't build our house. And when he said build a house, he's talking about living a life. We can't live a life based part in the world and part on God and then expect to have God and to have the fullness of what he has for us. But Christ, Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if, look at that. See, this is the thing that people realize. That a lot of people talk about once saved, always saved, stuff like that. It's garbage. You can walk away from your salvation. The Bible tells us that over and over, and it tells us it right here. We are his house. Whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence, hold to it the confidence, and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Not wishy-washy to the end. Not, you know, sometimes, no, firm to the end. Hold it firm to the end. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness. What is that talking about? That is talking about when the Israelites were brought out of Egypt by God. He had brought them this far, and they still didn't believe him. They hardened their own hearts. And you will harden your heart too by doing the same thing that they did. And he is drawing the parallel right here. We believe this is the Apostle Paul writing this. That he is drawing the parallel that if they weren't able or if they chose not to do it, then you can choose not to do it too. But you're not going to get any better result than they got. They got no promised land. They got wilderness season. Do not harden your hearts. How do you harden your hearts? When you hear the word and you reject it. Time and time again. When you read the word and you reject it time and time again, God's dealing with you. I purposely don't get into everybody's stuff. Why? Because the Bible tells me not to lord over people's, but the word also does tell me show them which ways they're wrong. But I don't get into all your stuff. I don't care about like all of that. You need to work out your own salvation, the Bible says. It is not my job to seek you out and make sure you do everything right. What my job is to do is to stand in the pulpit and preach the word. If you have issues or if you have problems, sure, come to me and talk to me. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that my job is not to hunt people down and make them live for God. My job is to preach the word. They have to decide. Why? Because Jesus couldn't make people live for God. I certainly ain't going to be able to do it. Everybody, I have watched people come on and I've watched people get off. It is always their choice. It's never mine. I said it's always their choice. I've watched people come on, get hungry, jump off the boat for no stupid reason. For stupid reasons, I should say. Well, you know, it was a nice day out. Well, praise the Lord. How many nice days are going to be in hell? Yeah, not one. You see, that's the thing is people think, you know, people joke around about that. They say, well, people in the world, they think hell is this place. You don't understand. Hell isn't a place for partiers. I mean, it is, but what I'm saying is it's not a place for people that are going to go there and party for eternity. They think they're going to still have fun. No, 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 no. If you heard the descriptions of hell, I want to have them in. I don't know if we'll be able to. We'll see, you know, down the road if the Lord calls us to do it. Obviously, we could be able to. That's what I'm talking about. But I don't know if God's calling us to it. But Bill Weiss, the Sunday before we were launched out to start this church, a guy named Bill Weiss, he's wrote a book. He travels the world now, and he preaches on the message of hell, because he spent 23 minutes in hell. The Lord took him there to show him and to come back and tell people. He has more scripture on hell from the Bible than anybody, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that there's 1 second of hell that is at least even tolerable, you're sadly, sadly mistaken. It is a terrible, 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 terrible place. And God didn't create it for us. But those who reject his son, they will receive it. Those who willfully reject it, praise the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You have to know God's ways. Stop going astray in your heart and know God's ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They're not going to get what he has for them. Why don't Christians receive what he has for them? Because they're doing the same thing. They're hardening their hearts, and they're going astray in their hearts. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The Bible calls it a heart of unbelief an evil heart. What is unbelief? It's not believing the word at word the face of you. Looking at the word and saying, I believe that. That is what God calls that evil. He said, beware, brethren. He's talking to the brethren. Those are the ones sitting in churches. Those are the ones who call themselves Christ. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief makes you depart from God. But exhort one another daily while it is today, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's why I said you can serve God for 99 years and give it up in the end, and you can give it all up. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold. Now, this includes everything that Christ has, even on the earth. Everything he has for us, even on the earth. You will keep your victory if you hold fast. If you hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast to the end. If you hold it, if you keep on to it. Ain't nobody else going to hold it for you. I can't hold your confidence for you. I cannot put it in you. All I can do is speak the word. I can share the word, but I can't make you do what's right. Listen, if we give it up, we give it up. That's all there is to it. You can't get mad at someone else, or you can't be mad at me or anyone else if somebody else gives up what God has done for them. You can't. Praise the Lord. We have to hold it. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He is making the parallel that what happened to them is the same thing that will happen to you if you harden your hearts. We have to keep a heart before the Lord. Now, I know sometimes, you know, messages like this, they don't necessarily make you feel all great on the inside in the sense that you walk away going, whoo, you know, this ain't a hanging from the chandeliers kind of message. But this is a truth message that will set you straight, that will keep you good when you're out there. When you go out there and live your life, if you take these and you say, okay, I'm going to resist the devil, then you have the victory. And when you have the victory, then you'll have the joy. And when you have the joy, then you'll have the peace. See, the message comes, it may be hard, but the things it puts in you is life. I said the things it puts in you is life, hallelujah. And that's why we preach it. I'm going to close here, Revelation 12:11. You just go ahead and look up here. Look at this. And this is in the end. This is all the way at the end. And the world, after the world has been gone, the devil's devil, all this stuff. This is the end time. And they overcame him, talking about the faithful, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So we don't do it by our own ability, but by the ability that God's put in us, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Means that they served God without looking back. It means they didn't focus on the things here, they focused on the things there. The things here are temporal, they cause death. The things there cause life. They'll take you on with God if you get into this, if you get hold of this and you say, you know what? You don't leave here sad. You live here pumped up. You leave here today like, you know what? Maybe I haven't been doing this in an area. I'm going to do it now though. Hallelujah. It's life. And see, that's the thing. It's the same thing. And this is exactly what I sense, because I'm going to tell you, we've had it go through the church. Almost every single one of the testimonies that we've had in here has been the devil has been attacking it. Almost every single one of them. And then maybe not all of them, but almost every single one of them. And if he hasn't, he probably will at some point. All that doesn't matter. Our testimony doesn't get, we don't get scared of the devil's attack because we know we're greater. But see, you got to know you're greater. And you'll only know you're greater if you believe the Word of God. You'll only know you're greater if you stay in the Word of God. You'll only know you're greater if you stay with the things of God. Hallelujah. If you stay in prayer, go on with God. Have everything that God has for you. Walk in the victory. Walk it out, but don't be deceived by the devil. Don't let him take what is rightfully yours.